Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through you to the members. I actually wish I had an announcement to make, but I actually just wanted to offer you a couple of thoughts. And I know that this is a difficult night, and it's a difficult time for the council. But I also sense that this is a turning point and a pivotal point for you all as well as you try to decide how you're going to go forward with this very vexing situation. I guess I just wanted to offer you a couple of thoughts. And a lot of these thoughts are actually a product of listening to much of this afternoon's discussion and having the benefit of the wisdom of some of the people both on the council and some in the audience that I've had a chance to talk to. It seems to me that one of the difficulties that we face is that we all understand that headed down the path that we've been on with Days at Sea will lead progressively to the extinction of a significant part of the fleet. And so we all hold out tremendous hope that some alternative method is going to be devised, and up until this very moment, on behalf of the discussion that we've heard, it seems like we've all put a great amount of stock in the fact that that would be sectors. And so all of us want to have sectors be developed as quickly as possible so that we can find some way to get away from the management system that we're currently using, which is heavily dependent on Days at Sea. That being said, I think part of where we got off the track is that we didn't understand, A, what it would take to get the sectors done, and B, we didn't understand the impact of the sectors. And you can understand why that's generated a tremendous amount of anxiety among the people in the industry. I would have that same anxiety of being asked to support something or even to become involved in the development of it if part of the process at the outset wasn't understanding what its impact on me was going to be. And so as you think about some of these accountability measures and prepare to spend a lot of time, and I understand that the motivation for that is to try to get something done to be in compliance, I would suggest that you may want to spend some amount of time, some significant amount of time, rather than focusing only on accountability measures, at also looking at the plausibility of sectors to accomplish the goals that you want to accomplish. And by that I mean a couple of things. Number one, I would hope that there could be some further analysis of how able sectors are to accommodate the amount of effort that you're trying to accommodate that's currently ensconced in Days at Sea. Number two, I would hope that some amount of consideration is given to just what exactly needs to be done to avoid a secretarial amendment or some other kind of unilateral action that will, at least for the moment, displace the discussion that's occurring here. And number three, it seems to me that a significant amount of time needs to be expended understanding how baseline allocations are going to be accomplished, because it goes into that category of trying to understand whether sectors really do offer the hope that many of us think that they offer. And so I would suggest that a little bit more time being focused on the goals and the ability of sectors to achieve those goals, and particularly with regard to the allocation issue that is the 800-pound gorilla in this room, might serve us well just as much as you consider some of the issues around what the accountability measures are going to be, which is going to take a lot of time. And it is going to be something that can be addressed, as Jimmy Odlin suggested. You can address some of those things later. And I'm not so sure how capable anyone is going to be at this point to quantify the impact of some of the accountability measures. I think what you're going to be able to do is qualify what they are. And I think if you're going to spend time quantifying something, it would be far better to quantify the capacity of sectors to get us away from the progressive path of destruction that we're currently on. And two, enable people who are stakeholders in the industry to have some sense of how the sectors are going to impact them so that they can participate in this process rather than merely just sharing in the frustration that I clearly sense that all of you have. And so I appreciate the opportunity to offer a couple of thoughts. I know that you're working very hard at this. I know it's one of the most difficult situations you've ever faced. As always, I pledge my support to help you wade through this in any way that I can and try to bring the full force of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts into that effort as well. And I hope that we'll be able to move forward, even if it's with a set of measures that may not be all-encompassing, but is sufficient to avoid some sort of unilateral action while at the same time giving people some sense of how to plan their future. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to all of the members. I know you're working the very best that you can on this, and I hope that we get to an end point soon.
Thank you, Senator, and enjoy Canada. I understand you're heading up there tonight.
I'm actually on the way to St. John, New Brunswick, Mr. Chairman, and so wanted to be able to leave, and my genuine wish is that I will arrive at that destination before this meeting concludes. No, Jim, I'm not walking. Thank you.
Okay, back to the council. Rip?
That concludes the motions that we had for the Amendment 16 document. I had one other item. I don't know whether it is under ground fish, so maybe I can bring it up now since we're so close to other business anyway, if that's all right.
Tom Neese?
I do have a ground fish related issue related to this amendment. This is point out two things with respect to development of sectors. One that was discussed at the committee meeting on Monday, and that is that some of the details, not some of the details, many if not all of the details of how sectors interact with SAPs haven't been spelled out in this document. And that was one thing that the committee started to talk about Monday and intends to fully move forward on. Another issue that was brought to the committee's attention, but I think we forgot about it during the meeting on Monday, it was in the committee memo, is just to remind council members that the Eastern U.S. Canada Haddock SAP is technically a pilot project that expires at the end of, or perhaps at the end of November, this fishing year 2008, and absent action in Amendment 16 would not be renewed.
Two important points. I'm going to ask you to take that up on their other business, which will be the next item, unless there's other things that the council wishes to bring forward. Pat Kirkle.
You're almost invisible because this is your end.
Wow.
I have a question, I guess, or a series of questions anyway. The Tom, I think, had prepared for the committee and the council this past October a timeline, basically, for the amendment and for all the activities that needed to happen to be successful at concluding these discussions and coming forward with a management program by the September council meeting. I'd like to hear where we are in relation to that schedule of tasks. Get a sense of where you think we are, what we've done, what we haven't done, what the plans are between now and the April council meeting, and get a sense of whether or not you think we're on track.
Well, turn to Tom or Rip, who chair and staff the committee.
You can turn to Rip, but he knows that Tom will do a much more eloquent job of explaining this than he can.
Tom?
Yes.
Pat, how does that work? Is that not good?
Well, on time and under budget, then. Just like every shipyard I've ever been in. I do have I could show a slide from the November council meeting. I don't know if we want to take time moving the thing over, so I'll just read from it. We had put together a series of about six meetings going through August and September. November, early December, we talked about recreational commercial allocation. That was done. We said that we would have a research set aside. That was done. We said we hoped that we would develop recreational measures. That was not finished. December, early January, we hoped to resolve outstanding sector policy issues. While we've made considerable progress, I'm not sure I'd say we've resolved all of them. As you know, today there are still some that we're still continuing to work on. We said we would review draft effort control alternatives. We did not do that in January. The committee did review some of those on Monday. In late January, we were scheduled to talk about ACLs, how to set, how to divide, how to monitor. We had that discussion by the committee in January, brought it forward to the council today. We had hoped, at the committee to have ACL and an annual catch limit and accountability measure alternatives. The committee actually developed one accountability measure for the common pool in December ahead of schedule, I'll point out, and the accountability measures for the sectors have been pretty well defined. However, we haven't talked about accountability measures for any other subcomponents, and it's clear from today that there's an interest in at least another alternative for accountability measures for the common pool vessels. We hope that by the end of January we'd be refining the effort control alternatives, and clearly that's not done yet. That took us up to this meeting where we hope to approve the alternatives for that would be included in the amendment. I'm not going to rehash this meeting. We had hoped in March to review management measures text. Some of that is the sector management measures text in particular is pretty well thought out, though there will be some changes as a result of the motions today. Some of the things that we had, you know, when we put the schedule together before this meeting, I mean, do I have a plan already set up for March? No, because there have been some changes made today of things that have been referred back to the committee that we're going to have to schedule for March. We had already planned, without setting a date yet, to do some further work on the recreational measures by working with a recreational advisory panel either in probably in mid-March. So that was already on tap for the recreational measures. I'd like to take a minute to talk about the effort controls because, quite honestly, some of that delay in the effort control development has been caused by issues within the PDT, somewhat out of the reach of the Groundfish Committee. The PDT tried to get started on the effort control alternatives in some detail back in the late fall in November and December. And all along, there's been, you know, suggestion by the council that, well, you know, just create a high, medium, low alternative. And all along, the PDT has been saying, we're not sure that's going to work. We've been very concerned that that is really kind of meaningless unless you really know or make the high, meaning low, high, medium, low reflect where you think the stock might be. Otherwise, you wind up with a broad range and you're really not informing the public. So last November, we said, okay, we've got, I don't know, at the time, we had a number of months of landings information from 2007, and we said what we'll try and do is convert that to catch for the whole year and try and figure out where we are with fishing mortality and stock biomass by projecting forward from the last GARM assessment. And that'll give us a starting place to work on the effort controls. Well, when we did that evolution, quite honestly, we didn't believe the results. We didn't have a way to consider retrospective patterns in the analysis, and some of our assessments have large retrospective patterns. And we looked at the results and compared them to some recent trawl survey indices, and in many, if not most cases, they didn't appear to match. The trawl survey index did not seem to reflect the growth that the projections were showing. So we were very uncomfortable with bringing any of that information forward because we didn't trust it. And we said, well, let's hold off a little while on designing these effort controls. The center was going to have a meeting and did hold a meeting in January that was examining this retrospective pattern issue, and we thought it might give us some advice on how to account for that. The meeting was held, but they didn't really come out with any conclusions on how to deal with the retrospective pattern. So that's the point where the PDT said, okay, we got to move this forward somehow, and that's where we did the evolution that led to what the committee saw on Monday, and we're still, you know, working on that, and we'll iterate that, go back and forth with the committee on that process to try and refine it. But, you know, I want to make it clear that, you know, we've been making efforts to design an effort control package that would be meaningful and that would go in the amendment, but we're not there yet. So I think, with respect to where are we, I think probably, well, without going over the issues that you heard about today that are not well defined, I think the biggest shortfall is that we don't really have effort controls designed. We have done considerable work and made some modifications to the closed area model done by the center scientists. I shouldn't say we. And they've made some extensive work on constructing at least 1 year of data set to use in that model, and they've made, as I said, they've made some modifications, including at least a way to account for leasing to some extent, which was not accounted for in the model in the past. But we don't have, you know, we don't have a complete suite of measures in front of you, which is one of the things that we had hoped we would be able to put on the table here at this February meeting.
Paul Howard.
Yes, I'd like to ask Pat how she's coming with the allocations with all the 19 sectors. Is that moving along, giving their history?
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
We're still waiting for the rosters.
Anything else? Mike Leary?
In light of developments this morning with the Haddock SAP, I move to forward the closed Area 1 Haddock SAP expansion proposal into Amendment 16.
Is there a second? Seconded by David Pierce. Discussion? Mike, could you repeat that, please? Discussion? Jim Salisbury.
Is this meant to be an alternative since we don't have enough time to do what we're doing now, to do this instead of what we're doing now?
Dr. Pierce.
I'll reiterate what I said this morning, I think it was this morning, that the Division of Marine Fisheries is working on the data set that was produced through the 3 years of experimental work outside the SAP. That analysis should be done fairly soon, and we'll forward it to the committee, and then the committee, if this passes, and then the committee can take a look at it and see if indeed the data support the request.
Anyone else on the council? Rodney Avila.
Is this for one gear type, or is it for any gear type? Can demonstrate no catch of codfish?
Mike?
It's for any vessel that chooses to use hooks in the SAP. So
one gear type.
Yes.
Tom Neese?
Yeah, can I ask, with your permission, can I ask Dr. Pierce a question?
Sure.
What exactly are you analyzing again? Is this another experiment?
It's the data set that was provided to us by the Hook Association through the different EFPs that occurred over the last few years. We're in the early stages of that analysis. We're discussing the data set with the Hook Association to see if indeed, again, the data make a case for the extension. And once that analysis is done, the committee will be in a position to know whether or not it's justified.
I guess I'm a little confused because which committee? Is this going to be brought to the Research Steering Committee or directly to the Groundfish Committee? The data analysis. I just want to make sure I understand the process that we're going to follow for this.
Yeah, I would look to the chair for some direction as to how I should proceed. I was going to bring it to the Groundfish Committee, considering this is a groundfish issue, but whatever the appropriate process is, I'll certainly follow it.
I think it's going to have to go to the RSC as part of our proposal. Tom Neese?
Yeah, the reason I ask that, because it's not clear to me if these are, you know, this is just a different analysis of the experiments the RSC has already reviewed, in which case maybe it doesn't need to go to the RSC, or if this incorporates additional experiments that the RSC has not reviewed, in which case it probably should go to the RSC.
I can't answer that question, but the PI and the fellow that wrote the reports in the audience, Tom Rudolph.
Thanks, John. Tom Rudolph with the Hook Fishermen's Association. This would be, I guess I would term it a fresh perspective or a new look at data that has already been through the Research Steering Committee. This would be the Closed Area 1 data set, which was extensively analyzed by Jen Ford. That was a supplementary report to our CRPI project, in which she took a real careful look at cod to haddock catch rates in all of our Closed Area 1 work that we collected under three EFPs from 2003 to 2005.
I guess the question is new data going to be made available that wasn't put through the RSC? That's the question. The data that the RSC reviewed and produced a report with, is that same data going to be used by the Division of Marine Fisheries?
Yes.
Okay.
We provided some additional data to DMF, but it's really extra. Doesn't even if it shouldn't be considered because it hasn't gone through the RSC, then it can be dropped. It's essentially replicates from 06 and 07 through different EFPs.
Okay. Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience? Steve?
Steve Welch. Will vessels that haven't participated in the SAP in the past, will they be allowed into this in the future, even though there aren't any landings? The SAP. There was like an allocation issue earlier where vessels that went into the SAP, I sat through the deliberations years ago when we talked about going in and hook fishing in that closed area. I decided not to do it. I've hook fished for a number of years in the past, just for personal reasons and everything, I did not go down there. I didn't think I would be giving anything up because it wasn't going to be part of an allocation issue late in future years, but today it was voted like it could be an allocation issue. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would like to have access to a stock that's totally rebuilt, but I don't want to be closed out of it because I did not participate in it. So,
I think this area will be open to anybody with a multi-species permit that wants to go hook fishing in this area. Now, your question is with sectors. Is that your question? If we go into a sector scenario?
Yeah. It depends on where we end up with all of this. You know, I'm confused like most people.
I think
people.
This would be separate than that question. The proposal here, I think, is to expand the area and the amount of time and to do away with a split between sector and non-sector vessels.
That's what will be in this?
That's what this is.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? David Marciano.
Yeah, thank you. I urge you to vote this up. We're going to need some options. I think the general feeling in the room is, you know, sector's kind of died today. Or at least the momentum farm, right? We're not going to have access to healthy stocks under sectors, it seems like. That's what it appears anyway. To those of us sitting out here. So this will be some access, a little bit of access to healthy stocks that anybody can benefit from. I urge you to do this, and I think it's time to start developing an ITQ option.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Russo, Chatham. I urge the council to forward this motion. I've been involved in this. I actually made the first trip in Area 1 under the EFP, been involved with it the whole way. And this is one of the goals we had in mind when we set out to do this. Anyone willing to fish with line trawl for haddock could participate. And to me, this is one would fulfill one of the goals we had in mind. Thank you.
Anyone else? back to the council. Anyone on the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Two opposed. Motion carries 13-2. Anything else under groundfish? John Nelson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think a couple of the speakers, including the good senator, touched upon this particular issue. And I think that I don't know when we're going to actually implement sectors, and I think that their sense is that we're going to be delaying sectors until at least 2010. And that may be the case, and I don't know when that decision would be made. But I think in the meantime, we still have to move ahead with a process to have it defined so that when we do want to implement the sectors, we can do that. And I would assume we still want to do it under this particular amendment. One of the things that I thought was clarified but apparently was not was that at our last council meeting, when we were looking at the various alternatives to determine allocation, and that's, again, been brought up at the by various members of the public, we have analysis done for the three alternatives that we put into the document. There may be more analysis that needs to be done, but at least some preliminary stuff has been done. I think the feeling that I've gotten was that we hadn't fleshed that out as far as the alternatives to give people the opportunity to really be able to pick something different. We have, and this is under page 23 and 24, H5, we have alternatives that are obviously the status quo, but the landing history only, the 50% landings history and vessel baseline for landed stocks, and then again another one that's similar to that, that's a 50% vessel baseline capacity for all stocks, which are I realize there was a little differences in there. But one of the things that people have been talking about is the currency that they've been dealing with over the years, and they don't feel that we've addressed that properly. My sense is that there's a need to put in alternative four, which would be 50% of the landings history, and another section of 50%, which deals with vessel A days baseline for all stocks. So I would like to make the motion, Mr. Chairman, for the Groundfish Committee to evaluate alternative four, which again would be 50% landing history using the baseline of that we've already utilized, 1996 to 2006, and the 50% vessel baseline, A-day baseline, which was established under Amendment 13, for all stocks. Again, fishing year 1996 to fishing year 2006. I think that provides us with a full range of options to consider for capacity or for allocation, and I think that's what the public has been looking for. So I would request that be included in that evaluation, Mr. Chairman.
That's a DAS baseline, not day. Is there a second? Seconded by Rodney. Discussion. Jim Odlin.
Yeah, question of Tom. Did we have this option in there when we were up to seven options? I believe we may have had this in there.
No, I don't think we had this specific option in there.
Okay, then.
Rip.
Thank you. We did vote on this option at the January 24th meeting. It was put on the table. It got modified, and it was voted down. I'm not going to have it exactly, but it was something like 2-11-1.
John Nelson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that's correct, but you know, I was at that meeting also, and I whether it's correct or not, this is another meeting, and that type of motion can be.